Dixie Blues. It happens every night.
Every night.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have.
Summer heat never treats
nope,
me kind.
Never not.
It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice.
And I'll see you out
another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No. Not even cotton.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to what the kids call a hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live. Not so very live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern Middle Tennessee. And I hope all of you low lifers are doing well out there. And if you're wondering why I just called you a low lifer, it's because that's what the listeners of this program refer to themselves as. And I'm good with it. We are all low lifers around here, just a bunch of no good, just bass fishing, music loving. Speaking our minds, I won't say no good, but regardless, you are now one if you are tuning in. This is the podcast for Monday, May the 15th, 2023. And this is, I'm actually recording this on Mother's Day, but this obviously they drop every Monday. And it's early on Mother's Day morning here. And you know, I it's always it's a weird day now for me, and just you think about the loved ones you've lost all the time, but then on these special days, it's always a little harder, you know. And it's been almost 4 years since I lost mine. Y'all know I talk about it on here a lot, and it has been. It's been almost 4 years, and miss her every day. And it's just, it's a time to reflect though on days like today. And then of course you've got, you know, the great mom that the triple threat Marissa D is, you're trying to celebrate that. So you don't want it to be, you don't want to be too much of a Debbie Downer. It's always a tricky day. Holidays are tricky when you lose folks close to you. And I know so many of y'all listening understand that, but it got me thinking this morning, just how much moms do for everybody, kids and they're just even kids that aren't their kids. And I was thinking about a trip that my mom was very instrumental in me being in this bass fishing world. I mean, my dad probably gets credit the most and for getting me into tournament bass fishing, whatever. But my mom would just, she dropped me off at local lakes. She was always running me around, dropping me off and letting me get away with murder a lot of the time. So now she'd also beat that butt for you too. She was really good at that and holding you to acting right. But one time when I was about 20, it's so funny to think about this. I got in the Northern Opens, and it was the first year they had those. And I was like, man, I want to go up there. I might have been 21, maybe. And I had never been, you know, I'd traveled around the South a lot. And the first event of that year was up at Buffalo, in the mouth of Niagara River there, Lake Erie. Frank Scalish won it, the legend himself. And I was, man, I got my brains beat out. I'd never seen water like that. I was in a foreign land to me growing up in the South. And I went up there by myself and just had a miserable week, man, getting beat up by rough water. And I just wasn't mentally ready for the task of going up there. I just thought all these smallmouth lakes are easy. And so for the next one, it was in August, and it was all the way in Catskill, New York, where Mike Tyson did all of his, most of his living and training there. Little town on the Hudson River. And the second was on the Hudson, a tidal river. And I had never been anywhere like that. 16 and a half hour drive from Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. So my mom's like, I'm going to take a week off work and I'm going to go up there with you. And so my mom rode in the truck all the way to New York to keep me company. And man, it's a trip that I'll always cherish, man. The memories of seeing different parts of the country I'd never seen on that drive and sharing it with her. She had never been up there either. And she actually practiced a day of that event with me. And it was one that I made the cut in, and it was it's one I'll never forget for sure. But those mamas are special. They are special. And I think everybody knowing that that you're listening, you know that very well. But yeah, that's one that was so funny. Just like a 32-33 hour round trip jaunt, pulling a bass boat. And I didn't have going off of MapQuest directions and road maps and things like that to get there. And it's just so funny to think where things are now in life. I was reflecting on that a lot, just this podcast alone, but just my life in the bass fishing world. So funny to think back on those early days, 20 years ago. And so happy Mother's Day, late Mother's Day, if you're listening today, to all the mamas out there for sure. All right, we're going to take a stab at thanking the sponsors that make this all possible each and every week. And I appreciate y'all that y'all support the people in this industry, not just my sponsors, support people that support this fishing industry. I can't stress that enough, because it is a small industry overall. And there's a lot of us out there trying to do good things in it, I feel like, and to be involved. And I'm grateful for each and every person that takes a chance on me. Like StarTron, StarBright there, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The StarTron enzyme powered fuel treatment. It's kicking ethanol in the teeth. Y'all know it. We say it each and every week, but they have so many other products that you should check out. Their StarBright cleaning line as well. Absolute, just fantastic company. Fantastic company. Most of it's made right there in Montgomery, Alabama. So they are, by God, American. Born and bred, made there. But StarTron, bringing you low budget life for almost 6 years, but put it in your weed eater, your chainsaw, in your bass boat. Ethanol will ruin a good day of fishing out there in your outboard engine. But if you're going to store that boat for a little bit of time, or that side-by-side in between seasons, make sure you put some StarTron in your tank. We appreciate the folks from StarTron. ProGuide Batteries. ProGuideBatteries.com. It's got what you need. You can use code LBL10 there. LBL10, to let them know you were a low lifer, and I surely appreciate that, as do Pro Guide, because they're like, oh, this guy actually, he sends us some people every now and then. But get on there, check out the new lithium cranking batteries that they have. Fantastic. They meet all the specs that you need to run those big four strokes that require a lot of power and keep your electronics going. I'm running the lithium trolling motor batteries as well. ProGuideBatteries.com. You will not regret making the switch. They've been in the battery business for a long time. They are not a fly-by-night Ricky Don power-up batteries that just gets them in from China and slaps a label on them. ProGuideBatteries.com. Baitworks.com. The easiest folks to promote in the world. Great people. I mean, they got it in stock. If you need it, get on there. And like I always say, don't push order. Don't submit order if you're trying to hide something from your wife. You're trying to hide an order and you're like, oh, she'll be out of town next week. That won't deliver till then. Don't do that, because they're going to come knocking on the door and hand it to you like right after you hit submit. Okay? They also have the Mothership there in Springfield, Missouri, if you're ever in the area. It's a fantastic tackle store. But they have a great mega bass selection, really a great selection of everything. Of course, partnered with them on the LOB jig. It is for sure the only jig that has a Low Budget Live logo on the package, but the LOB Power Finesse jig available now in 7 colors. We added peanut butter and jelly. It's available in 3/8 and 1/2. I'm so proud of this jig. I heard again, little Trey Swindle caught him in the ABT this weekend that I was at, and he's like, dude, that thing, like, he got paid up in LOB jig. So very cool to hear those kind of stories, some tournament success coming in. I see so many of y'all on Facebook, Instagram. Y'all are tagging me. You're catching fish on the LOB. But get on there. Use code Duncan-10 to let them know you're a low lifer at baitworks.com, bait-works.com. And last but not least, Hang the banner. The first ever aluminum boat to take a ride with a Bassmaster Classic trophy on the front deck. That Express X21 Pro or the X21 Pro LE that I'm running this year. A little different layout. Absolutely loving that boat. Got to spend a lot of time in it this weekend. And always grateful to get that thing out on the water. 96-inch beam, 250 Yamaha show on the back. Pushing that thing to one of the baddest hole shots in the game. I do not worry about getting up in really shallow water, but I also don't worry about getting in any rough water whatsoever. It is a absolute barge. Be stable fishing platform, tons of storage. I love the thing. They actually, I was at that high school tournament a couple weeks ago, and Clay Connor with Express Boat says, what would you change about this boat? Because they're always trying to, you know, get better. And I said, man, I really don't know. Like, I don't know what I would say. And I know that sounds so crazy. And I had so many people this weekend asking me about it that were looking at it when I was at the Alabama Bass Trail. And it's true, man. I don't know what I would change about it. So Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. And I am proud to run an Express bass boat. That is for sure. So this weekend, just real quick before we move into a fantastic guest this fine day, I got the opportunity to, and I saw so many lowlifers. So first of all, shout out to y'all down there at McFarland Park, Pickwick, like for stop number four, the Alabama Bass Trail. I got to do some live coverage again with ABT, and I got to MC the event. I got to do the weigh-in. It's the biggest weigh-in. I've done several over the last few years. I've had many opportunities to MC some events, but this is the largest that I've ever done. 200, almost, I think they had 225 signed up, but they had some no-shows. I think it was like 214 or something when the dust settled, 213. I got to call out the boat numbers in the morning. I got to butcher some last names. I got to do the weigh-in, and it's the biggest weigh-in I've ever done for sure. And so many old friends and competitors I've fished against over the years in this thing, and heroes of mine, Tennessee River heroes, and different things that I got to see this weekend. But awesome opportunity. I can't thank Kay for allowing me that opportunity. Kay Donaldson with the Alabama Bass Trail. Nobody works harder in the sport of bass fishing. You want to talk about folks saying, oh, we're growing the sport. I have seen what she has done since that thing's inception. I know I've talked about it on here a lot, but when you were there and your boots on the ground, and now, you know, it's one thing to fish them. And I talk about the 100s, the ABT 100s that I fish with Lil Trey. We've got one coming up in a couple weeks, actually. I'm really looking forward to that. But from the fishing side, they're a fantastic event to be a part of. But then when your boots on the ground, you're there working, it is it's impressive to see it all go down. That is for sure, man. And they bust their butt to put on a fine event and pay great money and a lot of contingency bonuses in there. So just a fun day. I love this bass fishing community, and I think I say that a lot, but I do. I love it. And being amongst people that automatically take in like family because of this crazy bass fishing world is it's awesome, man. So fun weekend down there. And for me, it's a little surreal, honestly, getting that opportunity to do that because I'm such a Robbie Floyd fan. Robbie, you know, he's commentated every classic for the last, you know, he's been an on the water reporter. He's worked for ESPN. He's been involved in television for so long, and he's a guy that he's a pro, and he's somebody I look up to. And I've just always been blown away really that he does the ABT. It's awesome. And to get to fill his shoes for a day, and I get to do another one in June that he can't do, the finale there in the North Division on Wheeler Lake. I get to do that one as well coming up. But it was a little surreal because I grew up watching Robbie, and I've worked with Robbie a time or two on some projects now. But very cool day, and I butchered less names than I thought I would, and had a great time down there on Pickwick. I will say this, though, real quick, just a sidebar. There's something going on Pickwick Lake, and, you know, what little platform I have here, I just ask, if you go down there, take care of your fish. Take care of your fish. Our numbers, our fish population numbers, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. Some people are saying Kentucky Lake 2.0, and we've got a lot of big tournaments, and obviously I'm a big tournament guy. I love tournaments, but we've got a lot of big tournaments that come through the area at really bad times of the year in the middle of the summer. And I don't know if that's impacted it. I don't know if we've had bad spawns, but I can just tell you from my own experience the last couple summers and very dear friends of mine that are guides, fantastic tournament fishermen with years and years and years of experience, the numbers of bass in our schools offshore that we typically see and just the overall fish catches, you know, numbers of fish getting caught by folks, even when they smash them in a tournament, the weights look good sometimes, but the numbers are way down. And it's really it's disheartening to see. And all lakes are cyclical. We see it, and maybe they're just hiding somewhere. You have the, you know, Okeechobee last week showed that. It looked like it was down for the count, and then boom, here come all these big ones across the stage. So, but only four bags over 20 there. It took 17 to get in the top 10, but I mean, we have folks getting paid with 13 pounds, and that's certainly not the case for May on the Tennessee River a lot of times. So it was very disheartening to see numbers wise. And I did the coverage out on the water, and man, there's not a lot of fish catching going on at times. Pickwick's still fantastic. It'll bounce back, but it's crazy to see. Gonna text our guest real quick. So our guest today is a firecracker. He's a firecracker. I don't know him well. We've been around each other some over the years, but he's kind of a stir a little bit like myself at times, but he always seems to find himself in the heart of the topic of conversation in bass fishing lately. I feel like that's certainly the case. And I think he pushes it to the limit. He is, I call him the evil Knievel of bass fishing, sometimes doing his own stunts in his aluminum boat, you know, jumping things. I suspect him to do like what's that motocross move, that Superman seat grab. I don't know anything about motorcycles because, you know, bass fishing's safer. But he's a wild man. He's a wild man. He's got a history of just being involved in some crazy things over the course of his career. And his career's changed many times from the Bassmaster Elite Series to the BPT, now fishing both. He got a win this year at Cherokee there on the BPT. Really cool event there for him. And then fished the Bassmaster Classic. He is certainly an interesting cat, and I'm looking forward to catching up with him about some controversy and some different things he's got going on. We're going to get the sauce from him, presented by the W Sauce, America's Worcestershire Sauce, Worcestershire Sauce, the W Sauce, and their new breakfast sauce coming out. It's fantastic on some eggs, fantastic on some taters. You're going to want to get some breakfast sauce. Trust me, got a little kick, just a little kick, but it's delicious. But right now, we're going to get the sauce from the one and only. He's practicing right now for BPT, Keith Poche.
Hello.
What's up, Keith Poche? Welcome to Low Budget Live. We're not so live today. This will get uploaded tomorrow, but I appreciate you joining us not only on Mother's Day, but you out there trying to find some bass on Gunnersville.
Yeah, sir. Appreciate you having me, and happy Mother's Day to everybody, all the mothers.
Well, man, I got to ask you this just right out of the jump, because we're going to get to all kind of stuff while I got you here. So you always trying to find a sneak hole, I feel like. I mean, you just always off the damn grid. Is that something like you? So you're pulling up at Gunnersville, practice just started. It's that time of year where, you know, fish start to slide out, different things. Do you automatically, though, just look for something that fits Keith Poche's style, which is off the beaten path? Is that something, or will you mix it up and try to find some offshore or in the main lake grass or different things like that?
Yeah, it really depends, Luke. I mean, it's a deal where it's a happy medium. I mean, you can't die doing what I do, but you have to give it a chance. And typically I'll go, you know, I do a little research on if there's any kind of places like that, you know, look in the Google search history. So places kind of dictate, you know, well, can a place sustain a fish's life year round? Like,
Okay.
you know, if it's a drawdown, does it still have water in it? So that kind of dictates if I even look at something like that. You know, a lot of places we go just don't have that kind of stuff. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, I will look out, just because that's just, I mean, I can't show up in an event and just, you know, just go try something I know that's not going to work. But it's just a happy medium. I gotta dabble in a little bit and see if it's something that's got some potential, but just don't die doing it throughout the
Yeah.
week.
Well, in some of those small places like that, I think you get a lot of credit for you get the most out of them a lot of times. You're having a lot of success doing it, but I think that's what people don't understand. 'Cause I look for that stuff too. I run an aluminum boat and I've been that way my whole life. But like you said, it can kind of bite you right in the butt sometimes too, right? Because you can run out of fish in those kind of areas.
Yeah, absolutely. People don't realize that it's always a gamble. And what I mean by that is, you know, you have to run a particular size boat. So your long distance and fishing time, because it takes you longer to get there. There's a chance of hitting something, you know, messing your lower unit up, hitting something when you're trolling. I mean, you're fishing back and stuff, and you're around stumps, rocks, and you're running through some stuff that I mean, you got to have the right equipment for one. And you're just such at a huge disadvantage. And on top of that, you really have to manage your fish. You know, a lot of times when I go to these places, I won't set the hook. I want to see them, like visually see them, you know, because it's shallow a lot of times, or get a blow up on a frog or top water and don't set the hook, or you know, kind of pull up on a flipping bait, Berkeley flipping bait, just kind of see how heavy they are, or maybe they'll swim up a little bit, but do not set the hook, because a lot of times they ain't gonna bite for a while, and that's one less fish that you got the opportunity to catch in the tournament.
Absolutely. And I think the same can be said no matter where you're at, you know, in these bigger events, man, you gotta conserve those fish for sure. So your career, I remember, you know, when you came onto the scene, you're running a glass boat and then you made this shift to aluminum and then you made this shift to what you're in now, the Gator Tracks. And dude, you've just, I feel like transformed into, I called you in my intro. I said, he's the damn Evel Knievel of bass fishing. He does all his own stunts, man. I just like every video, I'm like scrolling Facebook and it's like, check this crap out. Somebody shared it and you're like all but doing a backflip over something. It's like, damn, who's that? Oh, that's Keith. Like it just, now I just automatically go, oh, that's Keith. He's just doing
Yeah.
Keith things again. But that kind of led us to this conversation. I wanted to have you on. Just this year in general, had you? I kind of keep a running list of guys I want to talk to, and before you even won Cherokee, just because it's such a daunting task to do what you're doing. John Cox has done it as well. Like you boys are rolling hard, man. You never rest. You just left Lay Lake for the Elite down there. Now you're at Gunnersville for BPT. You gotta switch gears. Start thinking about that. And then you had kind of a dramatic week last week that led us to this conversation. So, no time like the presence to have Keith Poche on. And man, so I heard about that when that went down, word got out a little bit, hey, you're being DQ'd. And I think you talked about it a little bit and you posted the video and you, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I peed my pants a little, like you're running at this thing and all of a sudden you jump over this dam. And you had a 29th place finish there, but then you get a call from Bass, they're going to DQ you. Then you appealed. The appeal process was last week, right before your Lay Lake Elite. And you've been very vocal. I think that's an understatement, but you've been very vocal on social about the DQ and the timing of it. And so just for low lifers that are listening that don't know the story, let's hear Keith Poche, because Bass released a statement basically saying you left tournament waters. You're not allowed to leave tournament waters was what you were DQ'd on per there. I read it. Now let's hear the Keith Poche, how this has been.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, man. To you know, give me a platform to speak. And you know, before I go any further, before I talk about any about of this situation, and at no point am I trying to make anybody look bad or talk bad about anybody or try to demean the league of BASS. I mean, you know, I got a lot of respect for those people, and I just feel like that when you put something out there like they did, which that's their right to do that with the DQ, it gives me a right to defend myself I mean, I, you know, I got a freedom of speech as a as an American. You know, I got a constitutional right to speak my mind and speak my opinion to what was done to me. And to that, I disagree with what was handed down to me. But as far as that goes, as far as the story, I felt like that the place that I went, you know, I like you, we've talked about, I go all kind of places, and I'm always looking and I'm always researching. And it's and in the rules it states that, you know, it's up to us to find those rules and abide by the local and state regulations. And that's what I was doing. Now, I'm gonna add to that, you know, some people was like, well, and it's even in the ruling on why I continuously was DQ was the fact that I didn't consult tournament officials. Well, I mean, last year there was a similar situation where I was going to have to jump a road. I asked the tournament director about a body of water that was the only access was across a dirt road. The water was up, but it, but yeah, I know it, but it,
Amazing to me that that's even a
yeah,
thought, but okay, I mean,
right. But
yeah.
here's the deal. It's not in the rules, you know, and that's why I asked him. I said, hey, I'm gonna jump. I'm looking to jump this road, and there's a body of water. Is that water? You find out if that water is legal or not. I mean, if it's
Yeah.
open. And he said, let me get back with you. What it wasn't no, well, Keith, you can't jump a road. It wasn't, you know, you can't, your boat can't leave tournament waters. It wasn't nothing like that. I even had a co-angler with me. It was during an open, and he even testified that that's how the conversation went. I even got text messages to prove the conversation back and forth about me going to this spot that I still have. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, the road is not an issue. You know, it's just the water. If the water on the other side is part of tournament waters. So fast forward to this year. And of course, he said it was private water, and I couldn't go in there. He contacted the correct authorities and said, you know, it's private water. You can't go in there. Okay. So, well, why even check if I can't go over the road, if you know what I mean? You know,
Right, right.
why even go down that road? So anyway, so that's in my mind. In the meantime, I jump beaver dams, I jump logs, I jump sandbars, and it's physics, man. Let me give people a little
It's
physics lesson
crazy.
here. You know, I ain't that smart, but I stayed in a Holiday Inn Express once in my life, and I feel like I know a little bit. So your boat is flat. My boat, I should say, it's a flat bottom boat. It's straight, flat. When you go up over something, I don't care if it's an inch off the water. When it breaks over and it hits a level, I guess horizontal with the water, the back or the front is not touching the water. And when you hit something like that, especially with me, I've kind of figured it out. I start jacking up and trimming up, and the motor is higher than the back of the boat. So no matter what I hit, the motor is higher than the boat. So and then my boat slides over, and it starts tipping over. And at some point, depending on how big it is and how tall it is, how wide it is, my boat every single time, and I don't care what boat you're in, it is completely out of the water. 100%. It's physics. The boat, the front end of the boat does it bend down before your back comes up and touches the water.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It stays
Yeah.
straight once it's going over. So, in that sense, I'm always out of the water. My boat always leaves the water when I jump something. So, I felt like that looking at this. I've fished this area before on the north side of Toledo Bend. I've been in there just playing around over the years. I grew up not too far from there. You know, I felt like knowing the rules and knowing that it's open year round, that levee is sloped on both sides. It's designed for boats. They even encourage people to traverse over that. So I felt like in my mind, I've crossed the bridge of can I jump a road, dry land, or whatever you want to call it. I felt like that was behind me. Like that was not an issue. So you look at the tournament briefing, and it has no off limits. It also states in there any waters open to public fishing is considered tournament waters. And it is connected. It's got little streams or, you know, spillway, like little cuts that go through the woods. Also, it has a spillway system in that dam where it spills over into it and it goes through the dam and boils up on the outside. So it's always connected as far as that goes. So the only reason they built that And of course, you can read on it is to make it a duck refuge. And but they still encourage people to go in and fish because that's part of the deal on their website. So seeing all that and gathering all my information, I felt like that there was no need. I didn't feel like it was a questionable area to fish. If it's open, then why even waste the tournament director's time with it? I mean, I even posted the video, and let me explain something about the video. So everybody's like, why you coloring a guy out? He shot the video. No. So I got up there. I wasn't just going to go wide open, just not knowing
in the tournament, right? That was going to be my question. Yeah, I was going to ask.
So,
how do you figure out in these areas can you get into them? You don't do that in the tournament, right? Like, you got to do that in practice.
Yeah, so I knew I could get over it. Okay, so but when I got up there for the tournament, me and my co-worker and I, you know, because there's people fish off that thing. They beach their boat on it. They go over it. Okay. They go in there and fish, but they crappie fish all around it. So I didn't want to just go run up there and somebody be in, you know, in the way. And there was a guy up there standing. He was crappie fishing. He's standing on it, throwing on the other side. So I said, hey, man, I just want to let you know I'm about to jump this thing. I didn't want you to, you know, walk around. So awesome. I figured he would video it. And sure enough, he said, oh, you keep posting. You some ass. Yeah, that's me. Oh, man, it's cool, man. Dang, you drove all the way up here. I said, yeah. So I said, I went back out, got up on pads, and did my thing, trimmed up, jacked up. And boom, boom, you know, I'm going about 15 miles an hour, just slid right over. No big deal. This boat's designed for stuff like this. Gator Tracks is just a tough boat, and it doesn't hurt it one bit to do that. And of course, the dam, levee, whatever you want to call it, rollover, is designed for that purpose already. So the guy videoed it. He showed up at the weigh-in that evening. He said, hey, I'm the guy that was at the rollover. If you want that video. So he texted to me right there in the parking lot at Cypress Bend. And then I posted it later. I thought it was cool. And
everybody else did. You know, it showed up on social media. It was everywhere, man. People were sharing
so
it like crazy.
So why would, if I felt like I did something wrong, why would I post it? Yeah, it's beyond me. So it's something that I felt like that it was cool. Fans love it. They always like my off the grid stuff. I just thought this would be something that that they would enjoy to watch. And I never denied that it was me in the tournament. They was like, you know, hey, was this you during this day and this and that? And I'm like, well, what's the matter? Did I do something wrong? Like, what's the deal? But anyway, my calling verified. He was, you know, everything was fine. I didn't do anything wrong. It was all good, man. And I just felt like that moving forward, you know, and for whatever reason they kept that disqualification, I have a right. And if you go to in front of a judge and jury and say that, oh, Keith shouldn't do this and do that, and you know, I have a right to go out there and defend my name and defend what I believe. What I did, especially when I felt like I'm wrongly accused. So if they don't like it, I hate it for them. Like, but when you put something out there, it puts a bad image on someone. You better know 100% that you got the facts right. And I got tons of more other stuff that I have not put out yet. And I'm debating on putting it out, but I just want to tell my side. I want to tell the truth. I got facts. Everything I was told a part of this deal, it was, I believe, or we believe, or we feel, and our interpretation is this. Not one time was I given a factual statement saying this is exactly what you did and because of this. Because if you rewind back what I was talking about earlier about boat leaving tournament waters, you leave tournament waters every time you jump something in the way they're explaining it. So, but they say it's okay to jump a log or a beaver dam or a sandbar. So I'm having a hard time understanding what the difference is. And I think that there needs to be some clarification of why, because I 100% feel that I did nothing wrong.
Is this something that you'll take further? I mean, is this something, cause it was a 29th place, you know, it's not, they didn't DQ a win. I mean, you got paid, obviously, and every dime you get in the professional bass fishing game, we all know is special, right? When paying entry fees like you have to and all that. I mean, every dime counts. But is this something you'll pursue further, Or is it something that you just kind of you want to speak on and then move on, or what's your process on that, if you can go into it? Are you talking, you thinking about legal anything, or how does this, because I know a good lawyer in Eufaula, Alabama.
Well, here's the deal, man. Look, I don't want no bad will on anybody. You know, I want things to be black and white, cut and dry. And from what I'm explaining to your listeners, I hope they understand that what I'm explaining. And I'm gonna go one step further, okay? And then I'll answer your question. And some people say, well, it ain't the same. Well, it is the same, because I'm gonna explain to you why. You take a lock and dam system. You cannot fish in a lock and dam, but you can lock through to go to the other body of water, right? Mm-hmm. When something's not off limits to fishing, and their rules, they consider that non-tournament waters. So your boat enters non-tournament waters when you lock through, and that's okay. I'm not saying everybody that's locked through in the history of tournaments should get disqualified. My point is and it's the same concept of what I did. I went through a levee system, rollover, similar to a lock system, a point of access they allow you to go through, whether it's non-fishing, a non-fishing 20-foot stretch or not. You know what I'm saying? Just like a lock and dam. And the directors at Bass even confirmed that the only other side was tournament waters. They confirmed it. They told me, they said, you are in tournament waters over there, but how you got there. And I'm saying, well, it's no different than a lock and dam, because you go through a knot. But my point is they should have done the research and said you can't traverse over that dam. I did my part on my research and abided by the law, local and state regulations. I felt like they might have dropped the ball and not did their due diligence and researched the lake on what. If they wanted it off limits, they should have made it off limits. You see what I'm saying? Like, they should have did their homework to do that, because it's like we go on the Arkansas River in Oklahoma, and you got all them pools, and they just say all creeks, canals connected, and, you know, anything open to public fishing. You can lock to go all the way into Little Rock if you want to, mm-hmm. what they're saying. They're not giving you no limits. They need to limit. They need to set a limit in the tournament briefing. So I'm getting penalized because they didn't do the – specify on what you can and can't access. I abide it by what it states in the rules and by state and local regulations. So at no point did I break any rule by the black and white they have on their paper.
It is. And look, Bass has been in the business longer than you and I've been around it. And there's controversial things that pop up time and time again, but I will say over the years and I would say this, poor Hank Weldon, because this year has been tricky for him. That's for sure. I had him on the show at the first of the year, and I said, well, maybe everybody will behave. And then he went right into you, followed all the craziness down there with the lawyer and Tucker Smith and all that. On Eufaula, but
yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, it's crazy, man, crazy stuff. But for me, it is confusing that they said, okay, Keith, where you win is actually it's connected to tournament waters. You're not being DQ'd because of that. It's how you accessed it. I get your points for sure. And I get the frustration.
Yeah, it's not the fact that I was fishing in there. It's not the fact that I was fishing. It's the fact that my boat left the water for that split second to get in there. But like I explained, your boat leaves with the water when you jump anything. It's physics. I can't change the law of physics. I mean, it is what it is.
I saw a video of yours this morning, as a matter of fact, and you're talking about you were jumping. It looked like a mud bar or something, yep. But I mean, your whole skeg drags over the son of a gun as you're going over, but you're not in the water for, I don't know, 10, 15 yards or something. And like you scoot right over. It was really cool. But I saw it first thing this morning.
I asked that, and I'm like, And they said that's okay. So I'm trying to understand what the difference is.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I'm at with that. Like, what? Why is that? Why is one different and the other's not? Like, that's the same thing. I wish I could get that answer, but I can't. So.
Will you pursue that further though?
Yeah. To answer your question, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I want to be. I don't care if it's. I don't care if it's $2. That's being taken away from me. It's the principle of what happened, and I feel like if this can happen to me, it can happen to anybody. And I want it to be more cut and dry, and I need some explanation because I felt like that. This is my career. This is my reputation. That you know, who knows what may come of this in the future with. You know, potential sponsor opportunities or whatever. I mean, they look at this, or you never know. So, you have to be 100% sure that when you DQ somebody, you have the utmost 100% evidence that you are correct. And I feel like in this instance, I didn't do anything wrong. So I don't know what's going to happen. I just got to play it by ear. Just get some more information and just see where we go.
Well, what would you say to the folks? Because I've read, you know, I'm always fascinated by bass fishing social media comments. I know you are too. You never know which direction people go, but you've got support. I'll say that. You always do. People are in Keith Poche's court. You have a great following. Your interaction on social media is fantastic. People really pull for you, man. Like, you've got a big fan base, and it's awesome to see. But the only thing that I read this week that kind of it frustrated me, not from your standpoint, but from fans saying, you know, well, Bass doesn't like him because he fishes out of an aluminum boat. If he was in a fiberglass Phoenix, this would never happen. Is there ever, I mean, what would you say to that? And is that ever a thought that enters your mind? Because for me, I feel like that's silly. Like, I don't feel like Bass made that decision based on the fact that you're in a gator tracks. But is that something that you've thought? Because I know you haven't said that, I don't think.
Yeah, well, I can't really speak of that. I don't know what's in their mind, and I'm not going to put words in their mouth. And like I said, I have the utmost respect for them as an organization. But I have to defend Keith Poche. I have to tell my story. I have to fight for what's right, and that's what I'm doing. I'm not, you know, I've been in the wrong before, and I've accepted it, and I've moved on. But in this instance, I'm not wrong. So I'm going to be heard. But as far as that goes, I can't speak of that. I can't imagine what's going through their mind on how they feel or what they think or their reasoning. So I just have to leave that up to the fans and let them make their own judgment on that. And I just really can't speak to it.
Yeah, and that's true. You can't control. I mean, look, I got folks that follow me, and you never know what they may say or interpret something you said or something you've done. I mean, Lord knows, I've got myself into plenty of. You and I are troublemakers, Keith. I think you and I should start a show together with troublemaking with Luke and Keith, because that is something I'll say, man. Like, there's been about what, three or four times where it's like, damn, Keith's in the middle of it. Keith's in the middle of it. He's stirring
You
the
know,
pot. I mean, going back to the Toho thing years ago,
yep,
throwing
yep,
down, and that was crazy. Was like, what the hell? Like, that was crazy. And then last year, you had the Red River. Hell, you made them change a rule. They changed a rule
yeah.
because of you. And that's, to me, in bass fishing, I've said this for a long time, because like Roland Martin had rules changed because of him. It's kind of legendary to get a rule changed after you. I'm not gonna lie, like you, but last year there was that Red River thing, man, was crazy. You had the how you were getting in there, and then you had the rocks piled up and all that. Like, it was wild to win, to go to the Bassmaster Classic, and then now this year, you definitely trouble and stirring it up definitely comes with the Louisiana boy.
You know, and I honestly don't look for it. And I think people take me wrong sometimes. I'm pretty straightforward. I don't want to cuss on your show, but
Yeah, send it.
I don't
Full
really,
send.
I don't really, I really don't take any shit. I
Yeah.
call it like it is. You know what I'm saying? And some people can't handle that. Some people don't, they just don't feel comfortable with that. And I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to be a butt. I'm just straight up, man. I just tell it like it is, because I don't lie. I'm not trying to be deceptive. I tell you what's on my mind. I tell you straight up, and it is what it is. If you don't like it, I mean, and that's what I told some people. I mean, you may not like me, you may not like what I did, but you can't punish me for something that's not in the rules. You've got to show me some kind of evidence and some kind of tangible reasoning And hey, change the rules later or do whatever you got to do. But as of right now, it is what it is, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So, and that's all I can say. And I just hope people can respect me for that, and for being a man, and tell them like it is, because the facts are the facts. I mean, we can't deny that. And I think I've laid them out. And if people, they got their own opinion, that's fine too. But I'm going to fight and continue to plead my innocence. And I'm never going to admit that I did anything wrong, because I didn't. And that's just the way I feel.
And you have the right to that for sure. And I think a lot of people are on your side. I mean, like I said, looking through social media, it's not like a bunch of people are going, "Oh, shut up, Keith. Quit talking about this." I mean, you had a lot of support, man. That's got to make you feel good that people are in your court. They pull for you. And look, I think you are at a perfect time, like with your Cherokee wind going way up the river up there in Ott's backyard and getting all the way up the river and catching that big bag on Cherokee the last day. The MLF was freaking awesome, man. The BPT, there's a huge win. It was some of the most amazing footage. I mean, just how you were fishing. You are balls to the wall. I will give you that all the time. But I think we're living in this time where bass fishing's changing, dude. You know that better than anybody. It's changing. Like, and I'm not trying to be Randy Blockett about it, because I'm a Garmin guy just like you are. I'm a LiveScope guy. I enjoy it. But it is changing, dude. It's changing. We are seeing different techniques win, and that's fine. That happens in every sport. Things change. But I think the reason, besides your brutal honesty and your really kick-ass videos jumping shit all the time that are awesome, but I think that people really gravitate towards you because you're fishing the way most of us learn to bass fish most of the time, right?
100%. And I'm gonna take a little farther. And I feel like I'm fishing for all the folks out there that can't go out and buy an expensive boat. Now, my boat, I mean, this Gator Tracks, I mean, it's well built, it's inexpensive, but I don't have to have the nicest stuff to do what I do. You can get a cheap little aluminum boat, but I'm fighting for the little man that can't afford it. And I want to give them confidence they can go out there and compete on the big level, on the top level in a small boat. Just let your ability show. Don't go out and show what you have, material stuff. Show what you can do with your abilities. Give them confidence they can go out and compete and show up and don't worry about what kind of rod you got, even though I encourage you to get Fenwick and that goes to reels.
Yeah, that's right.
But be able to show up and be cocky and say, you know what, I'm going to kick your butt today. And it doesn't matter what you have, because man, when I started fishing, even on the first year of my the Elite Series, 14 years ago, man, I had Walmart Bass Pro specials. Like, I mean, I just had the cheap stuff, and I was catching fish. I mean, it's not about what you have. It's about the person, the ability you have, and how much you want to work and go out there and fish. And it's this perception of you got to have all this stuff and spend all this money is a bunch of bullshit. And I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of leagues pushing that, because they're hurting the sport. They're hurting the little man that can't get out there. And because they feel like they need that to go out and compete, and that's wrong.
And you can still and man, it's you can hear the passion, man, you've got for that right there. And like you said, your boat it's like my Express. My Express is they're not. It's not a cheap boat. I say all the time on here on my ad read, it's not your granddaddy's aluminum boat. Neither is yours. Not at all. Yeah. It's not your granddaddy's flat bottom. But at the same time, you don't. And this is why I try to tell kids all the time. Do I love LiveScope? Absolutely. But do you have to have it to catch a bass? Nope. Nope. You can get you an old chartreuse white spinnerbait and take off down the damn bank, and eventually you'll get you a bite on a lot of lakes. You know, it's just do what you want to do in bass fishing. And I do agree that I think sometimes we do lose sight of that as an industry as far as, what got us all here. And that's our love of just catching a fish. And to me, I get frustrated. I don't mind watching a guy live scope on live coverage. I don't mind that at all. I do it with MPFL. I'm commentating with my buddy Fat Cat, and dude, we watch it all the time. It's fine. It's fine because I like learning and I like catching bass. And if I got to go in the middle of the lake and catch one on a spinning rod like that, I'm fine with it. But if I can just look at this camera right here and tell the truth. Now, I'd rather be jumping over some shit and going and flipping a beaver dam or something, because that is, it's fun. Or like the Elite right now, Jason Christie catching them on a frog and lily pads. Like, that's, for me, that's bass fishing heaven. There's nothing wrong either way, though. But I do feel like as an industry in the last few years, man, the boats get more expensive. They're damn sure not going the other way. I mean, you could get a rig for under 30 grand not that long ago. And I know you know that, a brand new rig.
Yep.
And then when the horsepower regs changed to 250 and everything changed, it really took a lot of folks out of play. I get it. I freaking get it. But dude, if you got a 1979 freaking Ranger and it can get you to the lake, go bass fishing. Don't worry about it. You shouldn't be ashamed of what you got to go bass fishing in.
You know, and I want to add something as far as, you know, this, you know, everybody being on an even playing field, and, you know, he gets in more advantage and versus this and that. They say I get advantage, I can go places and blah, blah, blah. I get sick of hearing about that. It's so ridiculous. You know, there's advantages and disadvantages in every part of the game. There's boats that hold more fuel than the others.
Mm-hmm.
There's boats hull that runs faster than the others. Certain motors do more fuel. I mean, there's so many things. There's the only way we can get it right is, you know, take it like NASCAR and everybody, you know, I don't even know their rules or how they rate those cars, but
everything's the same essentially. Yeah.
If you want to complain and gripe, make everybody run the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to hear what you got. I'm sick and tired of hearing about it, about this or that, and you advantage and blah, blah, blah. I mean, dude, give it up, because some guys have better rods or better reels or better trolling motors. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, more money for this or more money for that. He can go, got more time off from work. I mean, you should have the same stuff as the next man. If you don't, then I don't want to hear you griping and bitching about something that I'm some advantage, because it's bullshit. It is absolutely bullshit. Don't tell me that.
To me, fishing the way you fish out of a smaller boat, an aluminum boat, I think, because I think it's a – I will side with you on, if a guy in a 21-foot fiberglass boat with a 250 on it says, well, he's at an advantage because he can get way up that river. Dude, there are more days that you're at a disadvantage if the wind's blowing 37 miles an hour and y'all are on damn the St. Lawrence River. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know that's a couple tournaments a year, but, dude, there's a lot of play. Toledo Bend, you had to cross a lot of damn big water to get to where you were going. I think you are at a disadvantage more than you're not. I mean, it looks like you're at a super advantage when you're catching them and you're in a pond or something, but, you know, over a dam or whatever, you're doing what you do. But I think a lot of times you're at a disadvantage.
Absolutely. And just to add to that, you know, they gripe or they say this or say that. Why gripe about me? Go tell the tournament director. Tell them to change the rules. I mean, why fault a guy if it's legal to run the daggum boat? Why is it my fault?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just, hey, you can go run the thing one and two if you want. Like, change the rules.
How much?
I mean,
how much fuel do you have in that boat?
I can get up to 37 gallons in it.
Okay, 37 gallons, which is, you know, most fiberglass boats, I'm going to say you're at an average of 50 to 52 gallons most of the time. And what size engine do you have on that thing? I forget.
115.
So, I mean, speed wise, like you're saying, you're going to get beat to a lot of spots a lot of times if you decide to not go off in a sneaky situation like you try to sometimes. But man, I'm fascinated by it. It's really cool to see your career though, Keith. And I know it's frustrating right now, even though, and I hate that this kind of stuff outweighs right now for you, the big win on the Bass Pro Tour, man, just because, and you got to fish the freaking Classic, and you know, like, it's been a hell of a 2023 and we're only in May, a lot of fishing left. There's no telling what could happen for you still. So I hate that that this is something that's headline news for you other than just working hard. But it's cool for me because I remember when you came on the scene, like I said, in the glass boat, to see your career transformation when you just drew a line in the sand and go, this is what I'm going to do now. This is me. Yep. And when you went with it, I'll never forget, y'all were at a maybe the first year of the BPT, maybe it's Chickamauga. Dude, you're like up under some damn docks. Like, you're back in some stuff. I'm like, this man is wild.
You talking about this year?
No, I think it was, no, y'all at Murray one day, you were like under something because you were like, cameraman, get down, like lay down. I have to take the calendar. Like everybody. And I'm like, this is TV right here. Like
we might have to pull the plug.
Yeah. Well, dude, we've seen people do that. Do you ever do that? Is that something Absolutely. You've done? Hey, pull the plug?
Absolutely. All the time. And I'm sure they may make a rule on that now. I don't know, but who knows?
Well, I thought Bass had that rule now because somebody did that. I think Davey Height did that on Neely Henry one time back in the day. It's happened more than that, but maybe not that you can actually, and folks listening, if you don't know, you can pull the plug to fill the boat up with water to get lower, but you better get that damn plug back in there pretty quick. And then you pump the water out when you get where you're going. That is a nerve wracking situation. I've never done it. I know guys that have done it. Do you have one of those remote drain plugs on that boat though, that you can do it standing in the boat?
No, well, I mean, they run on the outside. I just, and when I'm rubber screwed.
Yeah, so you just reach down.
Yeah, I mean, I just pop them out. I mean, they're 8 inches underneath the water. I mean, it's, this boat floats, you know, six, seven inches. I mean, it's right there.
That's crazy, man. What's the, other than, so since I got you here and you're taking time out of practice, man, I can't thank you enough because y'all don't have a ton of practice time in those BPTs.
It's all good, man.
What's the craziest thing you think you've done in your boat in the last couple of years? Is it jumping what you just did down there? Was it Red River? What's your, if you got a Keith Poche story that you're like, this was kind of sketchy, because I feel like nothing sketches you out, but what would be the number one Keith Poche that folks might not have seen, or that you were like, damn, we're in a tight spot?
Well, you know, I do a lot of stuff like this. I mean, and you know, of course you can see my off the grid, and it's really no big deal, though. I mean, I've learned tricks and little techniques on how to do it, and it's really not that big of a deal. But, you know, I don't know if I could single one out. I mean, they all kind of, you know, are fun to do, and it's just, man, I just, every time I'm like, dang, man, I just did that. That's pretty cool. You know, I surprise myself sometimes. I'm like, man, that was awesome. But, I don't know, man. I do that stuff all the time, kind of, you know, with this, you know, jumping that deal on Toledo. I mean, it's all the same, but nothing real, real crazy. Just jumping beaver dam, jumping logs, and getting back there where nobody else can get. That's just my strategy. That's what I do, and I'm going to keep doing it.
Have you ever jumped one that you Google Earthed it and you're like, okay, I'm going to slide over this sandbar or this little deal right here. And you got in there and there was like no water at all. Like it was super shallow. And I always wonder like how the hell you get back out. Like I get it if you got to run and start going in, but getting out, like that's a whole nother deal.
Yeah. It's tricky. And, you know, a lot of times you got just enough. I mean, I can get up in real shallow water in a skater track, you know, 5 foot and a half. But if not, I mean, I got that 8,000-pound winch on the front of this thing. So I just you can get out of the boat, do whatever you got to do to get out. So I just get out, go tie it to a tree and winch this thing out. We on our way. No big deal. So you got to have the right stuff, man. I'm prepared. I got everything. I got waders. I got chainsaws. I got push poles. You name it, I got it.
Now in practice, you can do that because in an event, right, you can't technically leave the boat to access an area. Right.
Well, so. I mean, you can't. Yeah. I mean, you do what you got to do in practice. As far as I understand, it's just in the competition. You can't get out of boat to get in, but you can get out of boat to get out.
OK, so you can leave the boat to get out.
Right.
So I love that. You're like, man, I got everything in here. I bet you carry spare drain plugs, man, in case they get ripped out. You got all kind of stuff in that ride of yours, man.
But typically I don't have the chainsaw and stuff like that during competition. That's normally during practice, you know, if I need it, just, you know, if I need to cut a log that's laying down. You can't cut a live tree, like, you know, you can only cut like a dead tree laid over a cut or something. But there's this little, and you know, they're real specific with these rules. And that's another thing with this whole leaving tournament waters, or what, you know, what was said. And, you know, it's so vague, and it's not black and white. It's so gray that, you know, all these other rules, they really dive into them. They get real detailed, you know, the winching deal, or that, you know, that I cause them to put in the rules. They really specify a lot of different things and how you, what you can and can't do. So why not? Why isn't something specified in this, leaving the tournament waters and deal? I mean, it's not. It's for me, the perception I got when it says that, it says the boats must leave from takeoff and come back to takeoff, whatever, however they got it worded. But my understanding is that you can't trailer your boat. You can't, take your boat out and go launch it into something else to get into a place. So that's the only verbiage in there that I've seen that would be breaking the rules on far as boats leaving tournament waters.
Well, I think for what's going to happen for sure, Keith, is you're going to have two new Bassmaster rules named after you. This one's going to get spelled out. You're going to go down in the history books again for two Keith Poche. And I don't know who holds the record. Roland Martin had a few. I know Scott Martin had a few over on the FLW side named after him. But I think there'll be some Keith Poche. They may just have a Keith Poche section. I think Ott's got some rules named after him too. They have the Ott and Keith section for aluminum boat
Well, the year
rules.
ain't over yet, and who
That's
knows what may come up. I mean, we got a lot of fishing left.
Hey, listen, I know you're not allowed to get information on Guntersville. Just one thing. If you jump Guntersville Dam instead of going through the lock, it's a long damn ways down, all right?
I know it, boy. That's a haul, man. But
Don't do that.
I think my gator trash can handle it, though.
Well, I don't want to see that video. Okay. Just don't, just if you're trying to do that, don't do that. Look, man.
That'd be an off the grid.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that'll be
that'd
an
be an
off the
off the
grid. Yeah, that'll be an off the grid for sure. Man, I really appreciate you taking time, dude. When all that broke loose, I was like, I wanted to reach out to you. I appreciate you. You got back with me quick on it. And I apologize for it taking this long. I had a blast with you, man. And maybe we can get up and do another one sooner than later here on Low Budget Live, man. I appreciate you very much.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. I just want to say again, I'm not trying to down talk anybody. I just, I want to tell my side and just be honest and tell the facts. And I just hope all the fans can and see and before they, come up with assumptions, do your homework. Understand where I'm at on this and be respectful and do the right thing.
Absolutely, man. Well, go smash them up on Gunnersville, and if you win it, we'll just do another one next week. Back-to-back Keith Poche's weeks. I like it.
Sounds good to me. Yes,
All
sir.
right. Keith Poche, everybody. Thanks, Keith.
Thanks. Bye.
Keith Poche right there. Listen, man, that is he's a wild dude. He's a wild man from Louisiana there back in the day. And I don't know. It's for me, like I said to him, there was just a lot when he first came out. He was very frustrated. I think he's calmed down some for sure on it. He was very pissed at Bass. He was pissed at Bass in the beginning for, he said that it was very close to the Lay Lake event. He felt like that was intentional. I think you can hear it there. He's backed off, and we all say a lot of things when we get upset, but for damn sure. And this is a tricky one. This is a tricky one. Like I said, my old buddy Hank Weldon, he's having an interesting year, to say the least. My God, three events in now, and nothing but some shit stirring going on. That's for sure for Mr. Weldon, and it's never an easy job. And this one is. It's a strange one. This is a strange one, and I think that Keith, to me, the interesting point there is he posted the stuff. He was hiding in plain sight what he was doing. So it's a tricky one. And, I think if it's a win, and Keith's worried about his, his reputation and stuff, but I don't think a DQ in this situation necessarily hurts your reputation. If anything, I think all press is good press. And I think that the fans have, his fans, he's got a loyal bunch of folks. Man, I had so many people send me this story this week. Then I get on there, read comments. I mean, people love Keith, but I think that it's, if you have a win negated or something, maybe push it. But I think just getting the story out there is good. And y'all decide. Get in the comments. You think he should have been DQ'd? Let me know. Let him know. Let's see it. But I would like to say, and I tried to get him. He didn't want to talk about it, and I don't blame him because he can't. You can't really speak to what people say on the internets, that's for sure. But the narrative that, I saw people, if this was Gerald Swindle, it would have never happened. Get out of here with that bull crap. Like that's a terrible take. That's a terrible take. If this was Seth Fighter, this would have never happened. And Golden Boy, they're just mad. Keith went to Major League Fishing. I'll assure you, Bass didn't make a decision based off of that. Like Hank Weldon, this panel, they didn't make a decision based off of that. They didn't. Chase Anderson's not sitting somewhere. He's like, let's make sure Keith Poche is not successful because he doesn't run a brand boat that supports Bassmaster. That's not the case. Are they loyal to their sponsors? Like I told you guys, support the sponsors that support the industry. Yeah, they're happy that Phoenix Boats is a part of their deal. Yeah, they're happy that Garmin Electronics is a part and Humminbird and all that. Yeah, it's how this business goes around, man. It takes advertising money to do these things. But are they looking at Keith? They put a platform together for anglers to be able to fish and live coverage and things. You don't think that on the MLF side of things, they loved Keith being in that boat a million miles up Cherokee to win? Of course. It's great TV. It's great pictures. It's a great story. Great social media content in this content-driven world. Content. Everybody needed a little more content. But I think that's a really, if you type that in anger, or if you've been on Bass's stuff going, oh, it's just because he doesn't have live scope. It's not the case, man. It's not the case. It's not the case. Like, that's a conspiracy theory minded statement. That's not the case. It's not the case. I can, if there's anything I know, because I know people on both sides of the fence, and then of course MPFL. But anytime something like this happens, of course they're going to be public opinion. But just that one, I want to smash that right here. If you've made that comment, retract it, right? That is not the case at all. But no, I think Keith's got an interesting story. He's, like I said to him there, he's been around some trouble, T-R-O-U-B-L-E, man, and he's not afraid to stir it. And he does speak his mind. He's a very – you can hear that Cajun in him. He got that Cajun in him. And I really enjoyed him coming on. Hope y'all enjoyed that as well. Been needing to have him on for a long time, for dang sure, and finally got it done right there on Monday, May the 15th. All right, we're going to take y'all out today with a little bit of Biloxi Blues. Really appreciate y'all tuning in each and every week. And I'm going to see y'all next week.
I never could make it last.
See!
Spanish boss, the Civil War ghost. Well, I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.